Thank you, Lord. Wow. All these torches and all these lights, which are here just to give us a constant visual reminder of Jesus Christ, who is, as John describes him in his opening part of his gospel, in that little prologue, who is God's light to us. In what senses? If you want to open John's gospel and just have a quick glance at it, then we'll see that in the first 9 verses, in actual fact, what the 4 musketeers who were out here earlier on were talking about is pretty much what John was talking about in this passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. As the children were up here, you may remember that we figured that there were 3 things about those torches. Just isn't it amazing how even children naturally come out with a 3-point sermon? That we need to be able to see stuff, and we need to be able to find our way, and we need to be able to understand things. Now, those things that the children were thinking about touch on what John was writing there in really quite profound ways. And so let's, just for a few moments, think about them together. There are 3 things that John uses, 3 phrases that John uses to describe Jesus, or 3 terms. First of all, the Word. And the second, so we're connecting with the reading lights here. Here's the Word. The second, he is life. And the third, that life is light. Now, what do these 3 combine to tell us? Well, of course, John is echoing the very opening words of the Bible itself. John is saying, just in the way that he writes, in the beginning was, that God was in Jesus doing a new creation. He was starting everything new again. But just as God in the beginning created, so now in the beginning through Jesus Christ, he is recreating. So here's a work of new creation that is beginning. And these 3 terms, Word, life, and light, are not simply sort of plucked out of the air, and they're not just borrowed from the thought world around. They actually connect right back with that Genesis passage. Because God made through his what? He made through his Word. So if we were going to take the time to read the opening verses of Genesis, we would keep reading again in chapter 1, God said, God said, God said. So we have the very first of the works of creation. God said, let there be what? God said, let there be light. And so God, through his Word, set into the darkness, the void, the emptiness, the darkness of it all, light. And then God proceeded to create, by his Word, life. And so out of the darkness, which was not primarily the kind of darkness that we find referred to in other parts of the Old Testament, which is sort of ignorance of God or moral darkness or the darkness of judgment and death, but here it's just the darkness of things being empty, there being no life. In a situation where there is no spiritual life, although notes all over the floor, into that situation, into that situation of darkness, God spoke, Jesus Christ is the Word, into that situation God shone his light, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and into that absolute void, God created life, Jesus Christ is the life of men. So John, you see, is picking up not only the kind of rhythms and patterns of speech from Genesis chapter 1, he's picking up the categories
the terms, the things that God was doing there. God spoke, Jesus is the Word. God made light in the darkness, Jesus is the light. God created life out of nothing, Jesus is the life. What's it saying to us? Well, first of all, it's telling us something about ourselves. And that is that contrary to what we might like to think about ourselves, and contrary to what we keep trying to sort of bolster up as the truth about ourselves, in actual fact, we really need God. We are being told by John in the opening of his gospel that we now are just like things were before God spoke, before God created light, before God made life. So that these things were needed again. And they were needed again because we were like that once more. We were in the darkness. We weren't just in the dark. We were the darkness. Now, everything in our culture tells us, oh, no, not at all. We're enlightened people. We're progressive thinkers. We know so much more than we used to do. We can do so much more than we used to be able to do. Everything tells us that we are, you know, we're enlightened people. Because all that can tend to tell us, and if we're fairly successful in life and doing well, then, you know, the myth gets reinforced that we don't actually need God. That we're doing fine. God says, you're not doing fine. Now, one of the things that the children were thinking about was that the light shows you stuff. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he made it immediately obvious that we are not fine. So we look at him to see what humanity is like, and then we look back at ourselves, and we see a massive difference. As far as the Bible is concerned, that's the difference between lightness and darkness. It's not comfortable thinking. It's not sort of, we might say, it's not affirming. In actual fact, it ends up becoming much more affirming. It doesn't reinforce our egos. But God says, look, this is the truth about you. Look at Jesus, and you'll see how much you need God. Look at Jesus, and you'll see how far fall you short of where you should be. Look at Jesus, and you'll see how dim you are. Look at Jesus, and you'll see things about yourself which previously you were totally blind to. Look at Jesus, and it's like putting the light on in a dark room that hasn't been swept for yonks, hasn't been dusted for ages, hasn't been cleaned or hoovered. No pledge has been sprayed upon its surfaces for more than anybody can remember. Look at Jesus, and it's like the lights come on, and you begin to see the things in your own life that, to put it mildly, are not as they should be. So when Jesus comes into the world, he does show us stuff. We see that we need God, because we're not what we should be. And however much we might like to say, well, I'm not as bad as I could be, which is probably true for most of us, we're not as good as we should be either. So Jesus comes into the world, and he shows us that we need God. But Jesus comes into the world also, as this light, to show us the way to God. So Jesus comes, and by his example, he shows us what we should be like and are not like. But by his death upon the cross, and by his resurrection, he provides the way back to God. Just to show us stuff would be bad. And we wouldn't have a good news gospel. We wouldn't have good news to tell to all the world. We wouldn't be singing like in our first carol, news, news, tremendous stuff. There would be no reason for good Christian men to rejoice. But he doesn't just show us about ourselves. He shows us the way back to God. He becomes the way back to God. And so we begin to see our way through this life. Not so that this life can be better, but so that eternal life can be ours. This life is better following Jesus. This life is improved by following Jesus. But of course, the big danger is that we latch onto the idea of following Jesus in order just to tweak our lives to make them more like what we want them to be. Whereas the whole thing about following Jesus is that they become more like what God wants them to be. But it's not just this life, you see. Jesus shows us the way back to God for eternity. Jesus shows us the way through the valley of the shadow of death. He shows us the way through the grave to eternal life beyond. So rather like the torch that you would use to find your way to the fridge in the middle of the night so that you can raid it for all that turkey that's still there, those sprouts that are so inviting within the fridge saying, eat me, or not. So you can find your way to that tin of chili-flavored mixed nuts, which has the most profound impact upon you. So that you can find your way to the Christmas cake and some cheese, which is how Christmas cake should be eaten, by the way. Always eat it with a slice of cheese. If you didn't know that, I'm really sorry for you, but those who have come from Yorkshire just know this instinctively. That's the way to eat it. So just as you find your way to what you know you need, so Jesus Christ illumines the path. He becomes the illuminated path to what we need. But then, of course, Jesus Christ shows us the things that we need to understand, doesn't he? He becomes for us wisdom. He becomes for us the enlightened way to live. And of course, again, our culture tells us that the enlightened way to live is to make yourself God, to make yourself the master of your own destiny. Our culture says that the enlightened way to live is to throw off every restraint, to throw off every limitation, to throw off every oppressive opinion of other people. That's what our culture tells us. But our culture is part of that darkness. Our culture is part of that thing which hasn't been swept and hoovered and dusted and cleaned for ages. Our culture needs the light. And when the light shines on it, it says, no, you need a wisdom which comes from God. You need a way to read this life that you read in the light of Jesus Christ. You're there in the darkness. You want to be able to read your life. You want to be able to read what's going on around you. You want to be able to read the Times. I don't mean the newspaper. You want to be able to read the decisions you have to make the next day. And there's a little book light that you flick up and you can read. And all of a sudden you begin to learn a wisdom which responds to the reality of God. So Jesus Christ is this light. He is God's word to us, the things that we need to see, the things that we need to have our minds illuminated for. Jesus Christ comes as God's light, as a path for us. Remember how those two things are connected in the Old Testament in Psalm 105? You might be aware of Psalm 119, verse 105, maybe remember, if that's familiar to you. Your word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. Is how the two go together. And God's word teaches us to understand the way the world really works, to understand our place in it, to understand what it means to live a wise life before God rather than in denial of God. So with Jesus Christ, we really do see stuff. With Jesus Christ, God has shown us the way to be with him. In Jesus Christ, we gain an understanding of this world and of ourselves and of our place in this world before God that we just wouldn't have any other way. So in these ways, we can begin to see why it is that John tells those who are reading his gospel, and the word of God still tells us this morning, that we need God. We need God. Not in some vague sense, but we need the one he sent. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And it's not a sign of failure to say, I need Jesus. In actual fact, it's a sign of being right-headed. It's not a sign of some quest for religiousness to say, I need Jesus, because this is real life, real world, everyday stuff that Jesus helps us with. It's not a sign of going soft in the head to say, I need Jesus. In actual fact, it's a sign that you've woken up to the reality of what God shows you about yourself, to say, I need Jesus. It's not that you suddenly need a crutch, as if needing a crutch was some kind of problem when you've got a broken leg. It's to say, no, I cannot do what God wants of me on my own. I need Jesus. So John opens up for us in this passage, which is usually introduced in traditional carol services. St. John explains the mystery of the Incarnation. John opens up for us. Part of that mystery, and part of the mystery of the Incarnation, is so simple. It is to say to every single one of us here today, yes, you need Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent us light for our darkness. We thank you that you have, by your word, made flesh, given us all that we need for life, new life, a new start, a new direction, a new destination, a new understanding of the path, a new vision of ourselves and of you. Lord, we pray that you would help us now, sometime during this day. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, who we pray will remind us of this simple truth from your word. Help us to say to you, yes, I need Jesus. And to ask that the light of the glory of God, who is Jesus, might begin to shine not only in us, but from us. Help us just to speak to you. In the quiet of a moment, when we're finishing off the dishes, when we're out for a walk, when we're just sitting and thinking, come to us, we pray, and remind us that we need Jesus, and help us to acknowledge this to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.